a Bible with you, and you're able to find that. First Chronicles is before Second Chronicles. It is after Second Kings. So, Ralph, it's in between First Chronicles, in between Second Chronicles and Second Kings, right? First Chronicles chapter 4. Now, if you've ever read the Bible through, whenever your schedule says 1 Chronicles 1 through 4, normally, David, Brother Fox, normally, if you look on your schedule and you go, oh, 1 Chronicles chapter 1 through 4, the first time you go, oh, I wonder what that is. You'll never ask that question ever again after you read it, because it is nothing but, I shouldn't say nothing, because it represents somebody to the Lord, but it's genealogy. And it starts at Adam. And it goes, and it goes, and it goes. And you think out of the first chapter, oh, whew, I got past that one. Then the second chapter starts. And you go, Lord, are you going to mention every name of every human being that's lived since Adam? You get to think. Then you get to chapter 3, and you go, oh, my goodness, there are more names? And you keep going, and you keep going. Then you come to chapter 4, and you keep going for a while. And then in the middle of it, all of a sudden, God injects this truth that we're going to look at tonight. And it's, in my opinion... I got to thinking about this after I was reading it over and over again this last week. You know how when you get to Genesis chapter 5, that's the, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. And that's really the only thing you remember, because you can't pronounce 99% of the names that are there, right? And then out of the blue, it says, and Enoch walked with God. And he walked with God 360 years, and he was not, for God took him. And it was like God was saying, yes, the wages of sin is death, and I'm going to show you this death as it ends. But in the middle of all this, before you read of the chaos of the world, he says, I want to talk to you about one guy, and I want to use as an example. This is the same way in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Look, at, if you will, just at a couple of verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with thee, with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. By the way, sin always grieves. And he prays this prayer. Now look what the Bible says. And God granted him that which he requested. And then it goes on. And Chelub, the brother of Shua, begat Maher. And it's like all of a sudden in the midst of this, as God lists these people, he says, now here's another guy. And I've got something more to say than the fact that he was just a part of a family. He's an honorable man. And I want to tell you about him. And I want to tell you what he said to me and what I did for him. This is what we know as the prayer of Jabez. Let's study this tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the day that you've given us tonight, and thank you for giving us the health and strength to be back in your house. God, this is the house of the living God. It is the pillar and the ground of truth. And as your children, we've assembled tonight to worship you, to sing praises about our redemption through Christ. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for taking our sin away, Lord, that we will never find it again. Thank you so much for giving us the precious Holy Spirit and for authoring and preserving the Bible for us, that we can have it today. Thank you for the light and the lamp that it is. Thank you for this church property. Thank you for the people, the sacrifice that we can have it. Thank you for those that give faithfully that we can sustain it. Thank you, Father, for bringing us all here together for such a time as this. And Lord, as we're here, we pray that you'd come down and that you'd meet with us. We pray that you would have liberty with us tonight. And God, I pray that you'd have liberty with me. I simply want to get out of your way, and I need your help even to do that. So I pray that you'd help me not to be a hindrance to your spirit. And I pray certainly, God, that your word would have free course amongst us. And I pray that as you speak, that we would listen. And I pray as you guide, we would follow. As you command, we would obey. I pray that you'd give us as your people understanding. And I pray, God, that our heart would be open, sincere, and tender to your leading in our life. Lord, will you teach us to pray? Will you teach us to trust in you more? When we leave here tonight, this week, would you use us as vessels? And God, when everybody else is naming names of the famous, would you use us this week to be named with the faithful? And would you help us to be a good example unto the believers and the unbelievers. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This is one of those chapters in the Bible that, as we mentioned earlier, is not really exciting. In fact, if you're like some of us, you may even skip over it as you read through these generations. But these two verses, within these two verses, rest really a gem that could change your life because of its subject and because of the power of the subject, and that subject is prayer. We've got to remember that prayer may not change things in your life, but when you pray, it should change you. And that's the whole point. There is a divine principle, Russell Elliott said, in regard to prayer, which runs all through the scriptures. It is that God is pleased to unite his people with himself in whatever he is about to do. He first of all leads them to pray and then does what he intends in answer to their prayers. And that's where I believe that God, and we don't know the rest of the story. I suppose when we get to heaven, we'll find out the rest of the story. But we do know what Jabez prayed, and we do know that the Bible says that God answered that prayer. And I want to look at that and the details about that tonight. Many of us know the need for prayer, and most of us here tonight would not argue the power of prayer. But certainly, all of us need to be encouraged to pray. And when I read passages like this, I'm encouraged. I'm genuinely encouraged to pray and to analyze even more what I'm praying for. And I think that's the big thing for all of us. When you pray, what is it that you pray? We're having devotions. I don't think Braden's in here. I think he's in class with his mom tonight. I'm trying to teach Braden how to have devotions. And I would to God, to be honest, that I had done this with all of my children. And that is a regret that I live with every day. Is that my son is growing leaps and bounds because we open the Word of God and we go through a little booklet every single day, and I'm watching him. I'm teaching him to pray, and I'm listening. And every day when he's done, he goes, "Daddy, did I do it right?" And just he cries, I cry. It's wonderful. And I go to bed, and I lay at night, and I say, "God, will you forgive me? I wish I'd have done this with the other four," because he's learning, and you learn to pray by praying. And he didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to tell him to say. But I wrote some things down. And what was at first just kind of wrote, "God, thank you for loving me. And I love you." And all this kind of stuff. Now he's praying and he's talking to God on his own. He doesn't have to look at a piece of paper to do it. And so when I say the question to you, when you pray, what is it that you pray? Are you just going through some motions in prayer? Are you just saying some things? Or is there some substance, because there is a sovereign that you're praying to? And I think that's what I was challenged about this week. What is it that you pray? Better, what are you praying for? And you know, I was talking earlier with a couple of guys. This prayer kind of blew up, you know, probably a decade or more ago, where the prayer of Jabez, and everybody just needs to pray, "God prosper us," and you can take it to the bank, and God says, "Whew," then this is, you know, and it was kind of thrown out there by evangelicals, the prayer of Jabez, and it was this big deal, and everybody tried to get on the bandwagon about, "Man, we got to pray the prayer of Jabez, and if you have Jabez God, then you have Jabez prayer, and you're going to have this, and you pray that God would give you prosperity, and he's going to give you prosperity." I don't think that's what this is about. And I want you to take your notes tonight, because I see three timeless elements of this prayer. And I say timeless because it transcends the time. And that's where I want to begin. First of all, is the timing of his prayer. And I think this is where we miss it. The timing of his prayer is everything. As they say, timing is everything. And we learn a valuable lesson about when this prayer was offered. First of all, it was a time of returning. It was a time of returning. The Bible says when he slew them in Psalm 78, then they sought him and they returned and inquired early after their God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Now, here in Chronicles, you have the official record of all of the people who made their way from Babylon back to their homeland. And it doesn't start there. It starts obviously through Adam, and it goes through. And then just before this, it will give you the lineage of the reign of the Davidic line and who's going to be the king. And as they're going through this official record, now they're going to take into account these people or their family names that were in captivity in Babylon. Because remember, Israel turned their back on God and said, "No, we want to serve the gods of the land. We want to do our own thing." And God says, "Well, you've not kept the Sabbath, and so I'm going to send you away for 70 years, and you're going to live in a foreign land." And he numbered those years. And so while he was there, the Bible says the land had rest. And when it was finished having rest, God brought him back. Well, not everybody came back. And you'll know that also. Not everybody made the journey back. But the ones that did, God wanted you to know who they were. In fact, here it says in verse 8, and Koz begat Anub and Zobeba and the families of Aharel, the son of Haram. Now, it doesn't mention Jabez, but when it talks about the families of, we know that he's somewhere in there because the next part says about Jabez, all right? Now, Jabez then was part of these people who made their way back to the land that God promised. Now, think about that. Imagine yourself as him or a part of this family. Imagine yourself returning back to the land that God had always promised you. The land that you missed so badly. The land that you have, and we don't know how old he was. We don't know if he went into captivity as a little guy and they had to tell him about the promised land. We don't know if he went in maybe as an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, or a 20-year-old, and now he's 90 making the trip back. We're not privy to that, but we do know that he's coming back. He's making a return to the promised land. We don't know if he was, if he was old enough to remember it, if it was as beautiful as he remembered. You ever go back to the place of your birth and you have this child's view of the streets and this child's view of the city, and then you go back and you go, it just doesn't look the same. We did that, Cammie and I did that here several months ago. We were down in Southern California for a funeral, and I said, babe, we're right here. The funeral was actually in Hemet where we were from. And we went around and I went to my house. My house didn't look all that. I mean, it was run down and it looked really small, you know, because I mean, you just look through it through different eyes. And the streets weren't the same. The city wasn't the same. The high school wasn't the same. I mean, there was literally nothing of the city that I would go, wow, this is where I grew up. I was like, we need to get out of here quickly because it was a pretty rough place. And it just wasn't the same. We don't know if that's what he was doing, because by and large, Israel was not the same after they left. They had to come back. They had to rebuild. Maybe he was wondering if he'd get his land back. Am I going to be able to have what's rightfully mine by my namesake? Am I going to have to go buy purchase land? I wonder where we're going to settle. We don't know any of that or what kind of life he would have. So certainly, you could understand this. It would be a time of vulnerability. Would you agree? I mean, you're making this some 1,500-mile trek back, and as you get back, and you're wondering, and you're looking at street signs, and maybe you're going by, and of course, the temple's not there. It has to be built, and maybe he came back, you know, after that, and after the walls, and still wasn't the same, and we don't know, but we do know this. Even if he did not have a recollection of what the promised land was, as he comes back, he wonders if it's going to be anything like he's ever heard. Because if he's a Jew and he's coming back, it's because he had a mom and a daddy that told him, this land belongs to you because God gave it to you. And they told him the stories. So he decided to come back. He made it. He made the journey. Certainly, it was a time of return, and that time would have been a time of vulnerability. Secondly, it was a time of remembering. It was a time of remembering. We'll break this prayer down in just a few minutes, but very easily you sense that Jabez knows exactly where he needs to turn. So he says, the Bible says, notice this phrase, Jabez called on the God of Israel. You see that phrase? That's a very key phrase. He turned not to the gods of the land that he left, but to the God of Israel. And why is that important? You need to write this down somewhere. When you see that statement, they're referring to the covenant God of Israel, the God that keeps his promises. Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Now, when you study the likes of Nehemiah and Ezra and now Jabez, you get the sense of how they viewed viewed living in God's promised land. They view it as a privilege. Now they get to go back again. Now, though they've been exiled, now God is showing his mercy and we get to go home. Praise Jehovah for that. Now they're making their way back and he begins to pray. They view this as a great privilege. They also understand the problems that led them into captivity in the first place. There, I am convinced because of what you read in Nehemiah and Ezra, and you read a little bit of Zechariah, that there is not a Jew that goes back to the building of the temple, that goes back to the building of the walls, that goes back to establish a life that does not understand it is because we have forsaken the God of Israel that we were led captive. Everybody knows exactly what happened. Just as they know how God delivered them from Egypt, they are very acutely aware of how they got delivered from Israel into Babylon. As I pondered these truths this week, I couldn't help but think of our recent revival meeting. And what makes a time like that so special? Well, it's because when God gets a hold of our heart, we remember what a privilege it is to be His child. We get humbled when we hear messages like, "Behold your God." We think, that's my God. My God made those galaxies. And that God took on a human flesh and came down to save me. We get tender, do we not? We hear all that God is and we're reminded of all of that He's done to save us. And our sin is so vile that put Him on the cross. And all of a sudden we really understand that we're privileged people to be kids of God. We remember the privilege of coming into the throne room of that God. And by the way, it's a privilege to be able to talk to God. It's a privilege. It's your privilege to come boldly into the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and grace to help in a time of need. That's your child right. You just get to walk into the throne room of God. It doesn't matter who's talking to Him. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You have that privilege. Why? Because of Jesus. You see, that's what I'm talking about. Everything changes. We remember the privilege of going into His throne. We remember what caused us to feel so far from Him in the first place. We remember the sin that led us captive, that reminded us why we need revival. All of that vulnerability is met with God's mercy and grace when we repent. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. I'm convinced that the people that went back remembered. They said, this is where we fell. We don't want to do it again. And I don't know about how all the rest of them were, but I believe that's where Jabez's heart was. I believe that's where his heart was because of God's description about him. We'll get there in a minute. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Whenever you go through a time where you're repentant and humbled before God, and you remember the privileges, it's kind of a vulnerable time. And you think, if you're like me, you go through a service, you get down on your face, you do some crying, you do some analyzing later on, and you pray. And then what? And that's where we're going to go from here. Those vulnerable times God wants to use to build us, not to just leave us vulnerable or to say, well, now, Kyle, you can do whatever you like because you've had a good 2-day meeting with me. No. That would be foolish of God to say that. Now, like Jabez, our prayer time right now, after revival, is most crucial to our spiritual growth. What we do now in this last week, hopefully you didn't just waste away Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday just saying, I'm just going to go do this now because I went to church 3 days in a row. By the way, if you think that doesn't happen, it happens. I've been to church 3 days in a row. God's pleased with me. Now I don't need to come to church this weekend or Sunday night or next Wednesday. I have slayed the fatted calf for God. He must be really pleased with who I am. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Doesn't it sound ridiculous? It sounds ridiculous. But there are people who do that. There are people who say, man, I just went through all these furs and I sang all the psalms, read the Bible and the preaching, and man, I need a break from God. No, you don't. Now is the crucial time. All of us want revival. All of us want God's power on our lives. All of us want to grow in new ways. And at times that can be a little scary. It makes us vulnerable. Surrendering our entire life to God makes us vulnerable. Why? Because we don't know what he's going to do with us. God, I surrender. God, I surrender to do whatever you want me to do. But you don't know what that is. And that makes you vulnerable. Think about this guy. He makes the trek back. He has no idea what to expect. Even if he's never been there before and he grew up in Babylon, now he's coming back. He's looking at everything for the first time and he doesn't know what's going on next. So where does he turn to? The God of all promise. He says, man, I can't do this on my own. I need help. That's the time. The vulnerable time is the time when God wants to strengthen us. So the timing of this prayer is huge. Secondly, I want you to notice the testimony of his prayer. This is kind of the nuts and bolts of it. At first glance, this prayer seems amazingly simple in word. Notice what it says. It says, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And it's just like you just kind of fly through it. And if you don't stop and think about the timing, in many cases, you'll miss the testimony. Now, as you read these verses together in light of the context, you begin to understand far more than words. You get to sense his heart. First, we notice about this prayer that it was, first of all, honorable. The Bible says in verse 9 that Jabez was more honorable. Do you see that? More honorable than his brethren. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 2 tells us that, now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, remember, the testimony of Jabez among his brethren was not given to him by his brothers. It was given to him by God, which means that God saw something that perhaps nobody else did, and God is the one that called him honorable. You see, in the midst of all the names of all the people that he could have brought to light, he brings Jabez to light. And he says, now I want you to see, this is how I want you to meet Jabez. He was honorable in my sight. By the way, I want to be honorable in God's sight. Amen. Yes, man looks on the outward appearance, but God sees my heart. And I don't want to fool people into believing that I'm something that I'm not. I want God to say that's it. Remember when God said, I know him. Speaking of Abraham, I know him. This is how he's going to raise his family. Miriam and Aaron got all big britches on Moses and said, what does Moses think he is? Has God not spoken to all of us? And all of a sudden God said, what's your problem? Shouldn't you weren't afraid to speak about my servant Moses? You know, he's not like any other prophets. All the other prophets, I'll speak to them in dreams and dark sayings, but I speak to him as mouth to mouth and face to face. That's God's word. He said, so now here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you leprosy. Oh, my goodness. And she was cast out. My point is, you see, God heard, and the Bible says, and the Lord heard them when they complained against Moses. See, long before Jabez prayed, God had already been listening to Jabez. God had already been looking on Jabez's heart. He already knew what kind of man he was. And now he brings him to light. By the way, that word honorable there, you might want to write this down, means to give weight to. It means to give weight to. That doesn't mean Jabez was a large man, okay? What it means is that to God, he was more, listen, valuable. He was more valuable. Scales, as we learned last week, were used to determine the value of what was being sold or offered by weight. To God, Jabez's heart and life were more valuable to learn from and to emulate. So the Holy Spirit adds to the narrative what we can learn. To be honorable, by the way, in the scriptures means to be honest. It means to be full of integrity. There are no shadows in Jabez's heart. He is wide open to God. This was an honorable prayer because it was offered from an honorable heart. Secondly, it was not just honorable, it was humble. It was humble. Jabez called on the God of Israel saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. You see, The Bible tells us, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And the Bible says, by the way, at the end of this, that God granted him that. So how do you know he was humble? Because of what he did. God does, by the way, if Jabez was proud, first of all, he wouldn't have been mentioned. Second of all, he wouldn't have been granted all that he asked for. Okay? So we understand this. Jabez had nothing, was going home to nothing, and realized that everything he needed was going to have to come from God. Is that your heart? Or do you somehow, are you somehow going to manipulate to have? Are you somehow going to manufacture what only God can give you? Because Jabez was going back to nothing. And he was begging God's blessing. I don't know about you, but I want God to bless me. I want God to bless my marriage. I want him to bless my children. I want him to bless my job. I want him to bless my kids in school. I want God's blessing. But many times, it's not offered from a humble heart. Certainly not an honorable heart. He was asking the Lord to enlarge his coast. His dependence was completely on God alone. That is, when you read the statement, enlarge his coast, that God would prosper his endeavors as he returns. Which means, now watch, that while some would be happy just to retain or maintain what they had, Jabez was asking more. And I want to say this very clearly. This is not greed. This is not greed. See, how do you know that? First of all, God wouldn't give him his greeds. So this was not greed. This was influence. God, enlarge my coasts. This was influence. Remember, God labeled him honorable, so we know that this is much deeper than I want more land. It goes farther than I want a bigger house. I want a safer school for my kids. It goes far beyond that. This goes down to the core of Jabez. This prayer intimates that if God blesses with more, it's going to require more. You don't ask for larger coasts without having to ask for bigger vision. And understanding that if God gives me all this, it means more work and more faith. Boy, that'd be a pretty good endeavor for us. God, spiritually, will you enlarge my coast? Will you give me a greater opportunity to influence and allow God to see it from a pure heart? Man, I think personally, if we prayed that God would enlarge our sphere of influence for the gospel's sake, that he would give it. Do you know why? Because he wants all men to be saved. He wants to use every single person in this room to give the gospel to somebody. We're just asking for the wrong things. The prayer of Jabez was honorable. It was humble. This prayer intimates that he's asking, God, enlarge my vision. Enlarge my work, enlarge my faith, enlarge my coast. It all goes together. Look, to whom much is given, much is required. It goes together. God sees that. Thirdly, it was not just humble and honorable, it was very spiritual. And this would be a good place to make a prayer list. Look at the last half of this verse. It says, and that thine hand might be with me. Now, if you are a student of the Bible, you'll know that when you read Nehemiah and Ezra, they make the statement, the good hand of my God, the good hand of my God. Now, I don't know if Jabez was privy to that. I don't know. But he was asking for the hand of God on his life. Do you have his hand? Do you ask for it? Because his hand is not short that he cannot save. The Bible says that he will uphold thee with the right hand of his righteousness. He's not going, come on. He's not doing that. He wants to give his hand. Many times we're just not willing to reach for it. We're not willing to ask for it. What's he asking for? God, can I have your power? God, can I have your strength? Now remember, his heart is honorable for God. So he's not asking for power so that he can have some, 400 followers on his Instagram page. He's not asking for this influence so that people can perceive something. He's asking for the power of God because he needs it. And he recognizes that. But not just that. Notice what it says. It says that thy hand wouldest be upon me and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. That it wouldn't grieve me. Now, Jabez's heart, it's God, I need your power as I go back. God, I need your strength as I return to this place of my nativity.
And if I'm going to make it at all, it's only going to be because of you. And if I'm going to really please you, God, I need your help to keep me from sin. Because I need your help to lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from all evil, from the evil one. God, I need your help and your power to crucify my flesh with its affections and lust. Because if I don't mortify it by the Spirit, then I'll live in the flesh. And if I live after the flesh, I will die. And you won't get any glory from me. So what is that? That's very spiritual. God, can I have your power in my life? I prayed yesterday. I was on a way to make to an appointment in the afternoon to witness to some people, and they didn't get saved. They made the statement to me, I'm getting close. I'm almost there. And I prayed. I prayed for them all week. I said, God, I sure would like to see so-and-so saved. Not as much as you, but I want to be used. And so I went there with the express intent to give them the gospel. And I certainly thought that they would just fall down and say, what must I do to be saved? Okay. But I prayed, God, I need your power. I need your strength. I want them to know you like I know you. And he didn't answer yesterday, but that's okay. Because after it, they came to church and they listened, and they're still on their journey. But what do I still need? God's power. And I still need God's strength. Oh, maybe not to witness to somebody, at least right now, but I needed to preach to you. I needed to go home and be the right kind of man for my children and my wife. I need to be the right kind of example to my friends. I want to be the man that God wants me to be, and I cannot be that without Christ. I cannot be that without the power of God. And he's asking. What I'm asking you to do is ask him, God, can I have your power? And you get to realize, wait, the power that spoke the world into existence lives in me in the person of the Holy Spirit. I have that power. It's come upon me. I can be a witness unto Christ. But not if I'm not plugged in. Not if I'm not seeking it. I can quench it just as easy as I can gain it. This is a prayer of faith to the God of Israel, the God that keeps his promises. By the way, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he's trusting God. He calls on the God of Israel for his power, and he understands, I don't want to have evil in my life because evil and sin grieves me. In other words, I don't like it. Now, that tells you even more about his heart. David's the one that said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. The people that turn aside, they're not going to cleave to me. I'm not going to be around somebody like that. I'll not be around a froward mouth. I'm not going to allow fools to keep me from wisdom. So Jabez is basically, his heart is in the same place. I don't want to be around evil. God, deliver me from evil so that it doesn't grieve me. A testimony of his prayer is huge. And the Bible goes on, by the way, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. I think that describes Jabez. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, that's the testimony of the prayer. Let's close this and talk about the treasure. The treasure of his prayer. Now, remember this. When you open the Word of God and you start to dig, we gain what is most valuable from what God has written in his Word. We gain what is most valuable from what God has written in his Word. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding, for his merchandise, the merchandise of it, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Romans chapter 15. For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So everything, the most valuable thing that you can gain in life is what you get from God's word. Okay? It's more precious than anything that you could possibly list as a commodity. And God says, now, I have given you this man's testimony as I see it. I have given you this man's prayer, and it's all about me. Now, what are you going to do with it? So what's the treasure? Let me give you a few things and we're done. First of all, God is listening for an honorable prayer. He's listening for it. Now, what's an honorable prayer? Well, I'm glad you asked. Now, let me help you with that. One that honors God and not ourselves. That's an honorable prayer. You see, Jabez wasn't trying to gain for personal gain. He was trying to gain for God. This was a land that they had been cast out of, knowing that Israel was supposed to be a nation of priests and represent that to the people. Jabez is not praying for himself. He's praying for God. God, give me your power. Give me your help. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired. An honorable prayer is one that honors God and not ourselves. The problem with many Christians is that they want the prayer to honor them in the name of God. Instead of saying, God, what is it that you really want? Because that's what I want. Daniel 3:17. Remember the three Hebrew boys? Nebuchadnezzar said, look, when you hear the sackbut and the psaltery and all this music go on, you're going to bow. And they're like, actually, we're not bowing. And he's like, no, you're going to bow. Because everybody, maybe he's from the south, all y'all that don't bow, I'm going to throw her in that furnace. Old bear. Okay? Now, you get it now? I put it right down. Okay. All right. Good. Now, remember what they said? They said, sorry, we're not bowing. And here's what they said. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of the hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. What were they saying? God, we want to honor you. By life or by death, we make it your choice. I trust you so much that if it means, I know that you can deliver us because you can do anything. You're the covenant God of Israel. And this, by the way, is pre-Jabez. This is on the way. Now they get there and they won't bow. And he says, no, I'm not going to do it. God can deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're his. And if we live, great. If we die, great. You're not getting your way either way. That's a prayer that honored God. How do you know that? Well, funny you should ask. The music came about. Everybody bowed down. Three Hebrew boys are standing there like this. And they're like, okay, let's go grab them. Let's throw them in the fiery furnace. And they did. And the people that threw them in there were burnt dead. And he looked down inside there and he said, wait, I threw three in there, but I see four. I see a fourth walking like the Son of God. Yeah. You see, when you honor God, Jesus walks with you. Amen. Doesn't matter where the furnace is. That's awesome to me. That invigorates me. It makes me want to pray, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. That's an honorable prayer. We get so self-consumed with what we think about a certain subject instead of saying, God, what do you think? I want your heart on this. That makes it honorable. What makes it honorable is another thing is one that's sincere from the heart. Jabez was sincere. Reminds me, Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee how I've walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. That's awesome to me. I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. That means something to me. When I read those words, what did God see? He didn't see Hezekiah in pain. He saw through to his heart and said, he doesn't want this for him. He wants it for me. The psalmist prayed, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness, that thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Man. I don't know about you, but I tend to think when I read the Bible and I read all of these things that God did and the prayers that were prayed, that God's listening for an honorable prayer. Joshua, yeah, can you just hang that spear out there for a little while I whip these Moabites? God said, okay, I'll do it. Can you turn it back 10 degrees? You got it. I'll do that. Can you just part this Red Sea? Nothing. It's a little thing. Can you give my wife a baby? That's nothing. To God, it's all nothing. And that's the God we get to pray to. An honorable prayer honors God, not ourselves. Secondly, God's not just listening for an honorable prayer. Secondly, God's looking for a pure heart of faith. Jabez recognizes that he needs the power of God and his blessing. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. There was no wavering in Jabez. He wasn't wondering, yeah, I wonder if God can actually do this, because that's settled up right immediately when he prayed to the God of Israel. By the way, you get saddled with a name like Jabez. You know what it means? Sorrowful. It means sorrowful. Hey, what's up, sadness? Nobody names their dog Jabez because nobody has a dog. They should name every cat Jabez is what they should do because they're a sorry mess. But if you look, nobody does that. Nobody names their, why? Because it's sad. He got saddled with that, but watch. His circumstances in captivity and even his namesake did not deter him in what he knew God wanted for his life and what he desired. Man, I want to honor God. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, and charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I fully believe that God is looking for a reason to bless. In our text, he found one man returning from Babylon that he could trust with his blessing. One. Now, I don't think that means that nobody else was blessed. I just know this. That's the one that asked. And that's the one God highlighted. Now, let me go back and ask you a question I've already asked. What are you praying for? What are you saying when you pray? Is it an honorable prayer? Because God's listening for an honorable prayer. Is it a prayer of faith that you can honor out of a pure heart? Because God wants to answer that prayer of faith if it's for his honor. Thirdly, God's longing to answer the prayers of his people. He wants, that's what he's there for. So how do you know that? Because he's a better father than I am. And if I can meet the needs of my children, I want to. God is longing to answer your prayer. Pray, what should we pray for? I think we should pray for God to expand our influence. God, help me to be able to reach that person that we would say, oh, there's just no way I could do it. There's no way I could witness to them. Pray for God to expand our influence. Secondly, pray for God's power. Pray for it. I can do all things, but not without Christ. Thirdly, pray for God to deliver us from sin. I hope that you would pray that this week. God, will you deliver me? Will you deliver me? Psalm 19. Do you have that in your notes? Yes. Look what it says. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. You could say honorable. And I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, notice my what? Strength and my Redeemer. For those who've been following the New Testament reading schedule for the beginning of this year, you're now finished with the Gospels. Congratulations. You've been focusing on Christ and his message. Now, aside from your own faithfulness to God's word, we just finished a meeting with a preacher who God used to speak to all of us. Following such grace and mercy this week then is crucial to our spiritual growth. How you pray, what you pray for, and how you proceed this week could bring new blessings that could change your life and someone else's life. So what are you praying for? What should you be praying for? And let's pray together tonight, shall we? God, I thank you for these few verses. And Lord, I hope and pray that I've rightly divided your text. And Lord, I believe that you'll show me if I haven't. But God, I'm encouraged again, as I always am, when I read certain passages of Scripture, to pray. And to pray the right way. God, I want to teach my little boy and my daughter how to pray the right way. Lord, I think I could speak on behalf of everyone in here tonight. We want your blessing. We really, really do. In fact, God, I think an honest heart would say, Lord, we sure need it. Lord, we not just want your power, but we need it. We need your hand upon us. And we need your help and strength and your power to deliver us from evil. Lord, there may be someone here tonight who's tired of being grieved from the same old sin. And God, it's hanging on them like a shackle and a dead weight, and they've been beset so easily. And tonight, God, by the blood of Christ and the power of the weapons of our warfare, those shackles can fall off. And their prayers can be, perhaps for the first time in a while, unhindered. Because God, I believe with all of my heart that you're listening for an honorable prayer. And Lord, for that to happen, we have to be honorable people. Not by our standard, but by yours. Will you help us to be honest with you? Help us to be Christians of integrity. Lord, I pray that our wills would be bowed and yielded to yours. And I pray that you'd have your way with us tonight. God, you've taught us to pray over and over in the Bible, and we just don't do it enough. And when we do, so often we're just praying for the wrong things. God, we need you to guide us. We need you to direct our steps. We need you to give us the courage to take those steps. God, when we do, we want to give you all the glory. I wonder tonight if you need to pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if you need to pray. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I need to change the way I'm praying. And God spoke to my heart about that. Will you pray for me as I make the right decisions for God? If that's you, would you just slip up your hand real quick? I need to change the way I'm praying. All right, you put him down. With nobody looking, maybe you'd say in a moment of vulnerability tonight, Pastor, if I need to be honest with God, I need to change the way I'm living so that the way I'm praying will change. There's some things involved in my life, and in order for me to change my prayer, I've got to change my life first. I've got to ask God to forgive me for this sin that's besetting me, and I don't want it to be that way anymore. I want to be an honorable Christian before God. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you just slip up your hand real quick? I want to pray for you. Anybody else? I see those hands. You put your hands down. I want to say, Pastor, my prayer tonight is that God would keep me from evil because it's so grieving. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? God help me. How many would say, Pastor, I need to pray for God's power. I want his hand on my life. Pray for me. Anybody like that? All right. Can we just do what a local church does tonight? In a moment when I pray and I stand, I'm going to have Miss Ashley play. Would you just find a place down here at the altar as a church family? Can we just go to prayer together? It's early. And the best thing we can do with our Christian life is pray. And so would you just do that tonight? Could we do that together? Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, there are many hands that have been raised all over this auditorium tonight. Your people, Lord, help. They need your help. They need your mercy. They need your grace. They need your power. They want your hand on their life. Lord, they don't want to be so easily beset again and again and again. Lord, they want to have right prayers. Lord, there are people that raised their hand that said, I want to be an honorable Christian. And God, you see their heart. That's the beautiful thing about it. You see their heart. God, please, please bless these people because of their pure heart. God, please, please bless them because of their pure heart. Help them because of their great need. God, I don't know the extent of them, but you know it all. You are the God of heaven. You are the God of Israel who forgets nothing, who knows everything, and has the power to do it all. Will you please help? Will you please meet every need tonight? Encourage, strengthen every home. Please be with us as we pray now. In Jesus' name.